Open your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 13. Have you noticed here lately in this church how many messages have come out of the book of John? You reckon the Lord's doing something? It's just amazing. And when the Lord laid this message on my heart, this thought, at least 3 weeks ago, I've had 3 weeks to destroy it. You know, the more you work on a message, you'll find out the more, if you're not careful of yourself, you'll put in it. So a lot of times the Lord will just give me one just before I have to get up and preach. But in John chapter number 13, so you don't have to stand so long, I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 2, and we'll pray, and then you can be seated. John chapter 13, verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come. Now that's something to ponder on, because he already said in John 2:24, mine hour is not yet come. And he said in John 7:6, my time has not yet come. But now he's meeting in an upper room with his disciples, and he makes this statement, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. My Father, as I bow in your presence, I've never learned how to preach. I'm too old to try tonight. Unless you anoint me, unless you come down, my Father, and take these lips of clay and anoint them, I'll bore these precious people to tears. I pray you'd hide me behind the cross. I pray you would allow me to paint the picture that you painted me. Ask you to do it in Jesus' name. For his sweet sake, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I didn't want you to have to stand for the reading of the rest of this, because I know some of you have some issues standing up for a long time. Not everybody is young and healthy and runs 4 miles a day like I do. So I always take that in consideration. I didn't mean to lie about that 4 mile thing, Lord. Okay, I didn't. But I want you to look at this. I've read this. This is very familiar reading to everybody in here if you've been in church any length of time at all. But the Lord showed me something the other day that just absolutely turned me inside out. And it's cost me sleep. I've went back and say, Lord, let's go over that again. Let's go over that again. And if you come on Wednesday night, you know, if you don't and you can, shame on you. Now, if you can't, that's understandable. But I'm telling you, folks, we have some, there's usually a tremendous spirit in here on Wednesday night. And the preacher is throwing stuff out that makes you leave here scratching your head. And it will cause you to dig in your Bible. Because this past Wednesday night, I listened to him and I thought, what? Preacher, did you just say that? And I thought, well, I know he knows what he's talking about. And so, man, I'm telling you, it caused us to dig so much that there was some men that made phone calls and got together and brought our Bibles and we dug some more. And so, you know, the Bible says, you know, Psalm says to meditate in thy word day and night. Not just read it, but meditate in it. And so I want you to pick this up now. And I'm going to read verse 23 down through verse 30 and then bring the message the Lord has laid on my heart. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom he loved. Reckon who that would be? John the Beloved, the one that's writing this gospel. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him and that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Now, if you'll read the accounts of the other gospels, you'll find out that these disciples questioned themselves. Lord, is it I? I hope it's not me. Lord, is it I? And Peter looked at John that was leaning on the breast of Jesus, and Peter said, ask him who it is. So it leads you to believe that the life that some of the disciples was leading, they thought, well, maybe in some way I betrayed him. But when Peter looked at John and said, John, hey, ask him who it is. You know what John said? John said, who is it? He knew it wasn't him. The rest of them said, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? But John said, who is it? John knew for a fact that he would never betray the Lord Jesus. He then leaning on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Now, oh, you've got to see this. Ah, if you miss this. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, the wording in your King James Bible is so important. And after the sop, Satan entered into him, speaking of Judas. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, well, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went out immediately, and it was night. Isn't that something? I think I pastored some of these. There's folks that have absolutely no spiritual discernment whatsoever. The Lord just said to the whole group, okay? Now, the one to whom I dip this sop and hand it to them, that's the one that's going to betray me. That's pretty easy to figure out, isn't it? And the Bible said when he took the sop, he handed it straight to Judas Iscariot and said, what you do, do quickly. Judas gets up and leaves, and the disciples, they had to be Baptist preacher. All one word Judas went to. Reckon where he ran off to. And they started talking among themselves. I bet he went to buy some stuff that we're going to need for the feast. Or I bet he took money to give it to the poor. Now, evidently, they didn't lock in to everything that Jesus said. There's some things I want you to notice when you go through this. Now, there are those that believe the crucifixion was on Friday, Good Friday. I'm not going to get into all of that, but I'll tell you this. I'm of the group that believes that he was crucified according to the scriptures, not tradition. And I believe he was crucified according to the Passover lamb of Exodus chapter number 12, which was to be taken up on the 10th day and slain the evening of the 14th day. And if you count the days, going back to the triumphal entry, and understand this when you start to do that, a Jewish day began at 6 p.m. And the first 12 hours of a Jewish day was dark. A Jewish day began at 6 p.m. and went to 6 p.m. the next day. And so to get the Lord in the grave 3 days and three nights, and I had a preacher to say, well, preacher, here's the thing about it. The Jews count half a day as a full day. And I said, book, chapter, and verse. I'm not talking about tradition. I believe if you study the scriptures and you read the Bible, you're going to find out that he was crucified, he died according to the scriptures. And dying according to the scriptures, he fulfilled all the requirements of the Passover lamb. He came into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey on what we call Palm Sunday. That lamb was kept up for, about shout, Tom. That lamb was kept up for 4 days, just like it says in Exodus chapter number 12. And in the evening of the 14th day, the Passover lamb died according to scriptures, not tradition. And so when you go through this thing and you start to break down the time element, he's meeting in an upper room with his disciples sometime on Tuesday, Abib the 13th. And let me explain that. I had a preacher, Brother Long, you ain't gonna believe this, man. There's some people that try to make a living or a career out of correcting the King James Bible. Out of going through the King James Bible and trying to find a contradiction here, contradiction there. The contradiction is between their ears. Amen? I've told people this before. Was the Lord Jesus Christ perfect in every way? Absolutely. Do you think that he would ascend back to the Father and not give us a pure line of absolute truth? The judge of the whole earth will do right. Amen. He could not judge anybody out of a book that had error in it. So that's something that you have to decide very early in your walk with the Lord. Either this is his word or it's not. I remember preaching many years ago down at Brushy Mountain State Prison. I still wet behind the ears, man, but God called me to preach. And so I was preaching it to prison. And one of the guards, after I'd preached, he said, "That's a pretty good message, preacher. Shame you got the wrong Bible." I never heard that before. And I said, "What's the right one? That New International Version." He said, "That's what NIV stood for. I finally read it stands for the Not Inspired Version." When you start messing with the blood and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's nothing but fireplace material. It may contain parts of the Word of God, but this is the truth. I went home. I thought, what did he mean? That was before Greek and manuscript evidence and all that stuff. Man, I was a young preacher. And I went home, and I got on my face before God because I hadn't been preaching long. And I took that old C.I. Scofield, 1611, and I clutched it to my chest, and I got on my knees, and I said, "I am not getting up till I know without a shadow of a doubt this is your word from cover to cover without error." And when the Holy One descended in that little bedroom and filled my soul full, I come up before I ever took Greek, before I ever took manuscript evidence. I came up clutching that book and I said, "This is the word of God right here. It does not lie. You can trust in it." And you'll find out as you study through the scriptures, Brother Tony always mentions in Sunday school, there's a number system in the Bible. Certain numbers mean something. 10 is a Gentile number. 13 in the Bible is the number of rebellion. Now keep this in mind. They're meeting sometime on Tuesday evening before 6 o'clock, which would be Abib the 13th. The other thing I was going to mention that a preacher pointed out, he said, "Well, one place it says Abib and another place it says Nisan." And so right there is a contradiction. And I thought, man, you're crippled too high for crutches is what your problem is. You need to know what you're saying before you attack this book. You'll find 6 times the word Abib is used. You'll find it in Exodus chapter number 13. He tells them it's the first month of the year. It's the beginning of the year. Abib begins the year on the Jewish calendar. It's only after the exile, after the Babylonian captivity. When you get into the book of Nehemiah and Esther, it changes it to Nisan. But if you look at it, it's one and the same. There's no contradiction. Both of them denotes the first month of the year. And say a lot of people don't understand that. I looked this up just a couple of days ago, just out of curiosity, because we don't go by the Jewish calendar. And it's March 2026 here now. On the Jewish calendar, it's 5786. They date it back to, supposedly, the creation of Adam. So people that want to go by our time clock, "Well, the Lord's coming back in October. Oh, he's coming back in September." Oh, man, just sat down and shut up. Quit trying to sell books. He's coming back. On the Jewish calendar, I believe with all of my soul. Amen, I believe that. But you've got these clowns out here trying to take our calendar and date to come into the Lord. Just be ready when he comes. And so if you look at that thing, they're meeting in the upper room on Abib the 13th. We're in chapter 13. There's 13 men in this upper chamber counting the Lord Jesus Christ. And Judas Iscariot has 13 letters to his name. Starting to get your attention? Now, look at the order of events that we just read. He's meeting. He knows that his hour has come. He stated in other places, "Mine hour has not yet come. My time has not yet come." But here, the Lord says, knowing that his hour has come. What hour do you think he's talking about? His hour of death. The hour that he's going to be hung on a tree and crucified. Knowing that his hour has come. What does he do? He meets in an upper room with the ones that he handpicked, with those that he loved. He meets with them, the ones that he was closest to. I'm going to quickly point out 4 messages They're not long. Somebody's going, oh, he's going to preach four messages. Did he say he's going to preach four messages? That's not what I said. I'm going to quickly point out four messages that you're going to find from the Lord Jesus Christ in the upper room before he goes to the cross. In verse 3 through 5, I'm not going to read them, but you'll find a final message to the disciples. He breaks the bread and he gives the pure blood of the grape, not fermented hooch. Do you hear me? It was the pure blood of the grape. It wasn't alcoholic hooch. You'd be shocked now. You'd honestly be shocked that some people believe that, even when the Bible says, look not upon the wine when it's red and moved about in the cup. Amen. It was the pure blood of the grape that he gave to his disciples. But he said this to them. You remember, he's meeting with them for the last time before the cross. And he breaks the bread, symbolic of the breaking of his body. And in essence, he hands them a piece of that broken bread, the broken body. And he says, as often as you meet and break this bread, do it in remembrance of me. He was merely saying, I'm going to go away, but don't forget me. If he could have given them a snapshot of a picture for them to keep in their billfold, which they didn't have, it'd be the same. Look at my picture. When you break the bread, remember me. Don't forget me. You kids over here, the Lucas works with, it's like, you know, when your girlfriend gives you a picture to put in your billfold so you won't forget her, you know, and she wants you to pull that billfold out every once in a while and look at her, and oh, she's the prettiest thing. That's all good. Just make sure you get rid of that picture before you get married. Amen, Mom? Yeah. I want you to see this. He gives them the broken body, a type of his body, the broken bread. And he said, don't forget me. After I'm gone, as many times as you meet and you break bread, remember me. And then he washes, the supper's being ended. The Bible said he girded himself and he washed their feet. He gives them this message. He says, even after I'm gone, you can still walk with me. Even after I'm not in your presence, you can still walk with me by daily washing your feet in the water of the Word. The Word that I leave you can cleanse your steps. He gives them a message that they can keep their steps washed. And so he tells the disciples two things. Don't forget me. When you break the bread, remember me. And by washing of their feet, he's saying, look, you can still wash your steps. You can still walk with me. You can still commune with me after I'm gone by remembering the words that I left you. And then he comes to Peter. Peter, you got to love Peter, man. You got to love him. I mean, he's one that just identify with him a lot. You know, Peter, if you sat down and you talked to Peter and you looked before he writes 1 Peter, you think, man, this guy goes off half-cocked all the time. Peter was one to it'd come out of his mouth before he would engage his brain sometimes. Yeah, that's exactly what he done. Oh, you'll be offended. Now, it was Peter. No, not me, Lord. Now, these peons, they may get scared and run, but not this old boy right here. Not me. I'll never deny you. He looked at Peter and in essence said, shut up, Peter. You'll deny me three times before the cock crows. He comes to Peter, and Peter says, dost thou wash my feet? And he said, Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing for you right now. And he said, oh, no, Lord. No. If there's any foot washing going on, I'll wash your feet. And the Lord said, suffer it to be true, Peter, to be so. You don't understand what I'm doing for you. He's saying, in essence, to Peter, you're only going to get your feet wet tonight, boy. But after this, you're going to go swimming. When you stand up to preach on the day of Pentecost, you're going to get so Holy Ghosted, 3,000 people get born again. And so he washes Peter's feet. He also washed Judas. And he tells Peter, in essence, you don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will later. See, some people, that's all they ever get is just foot deep. It's all they ever get, man. They don't have a clue what it's like to wade out knee deep. Amen, preacher. I'm talking about the moving of the Holy. You say, I'm Baptist. I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you. If that's all you can ever say, I'm a Baptist. Well, God have mercy on your soul. I'm talking about what the preacher was preaching this morning. I'm talking about having the Holy Spirit of God inside you, walking in the Spirit. Some folks, all they ever do is just get their feet wet.
That's right.
Some folks will get out a little deeper and they'll get knee deep. But then those, they are those I've met that go swimming, amen.
Yeah.
They can't get enough of it, they go swimming. So you find a final message to Peter. And this is what the Lord showed me, I believe with all of my soul, that he gave a final message to Judas, and he offered Judas salvation to shut the mouth of the Calvinist. Now, when I said that, some of you went, he wouldn't do that.
He did, didn't he, brother?
He definitely did, and I'm going to show you where he did it. Understand this. The Lord had already said in John 6:71, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Judas didn't catch the Lord Jesus off guard. He didn't catch him off guard. But I want you to look at this. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. You mean, here at this upper room, at this table, the Lord gives him an offer of salvation. Yes, he does. And here's how he does it. Judas was so close. He was so, man, he dined with the saints. He was given the same power the other disciples had. He was so close to staying inside the city of refuge. He ate the bread. He drank the juice. What about the sop? I'm going to find out how many country folks is in here tonight. The key word, you're going to find it in verse 26. In verse 26 said, and when he had dipped it. That comes from a Greek word, bapto, where we get the word baptize. When he took this morsel of bread and he dipped it, and then he handed it to Judas Iscariot. Now watch this. How many country folks in here knows what sopping's all about? Now you know what it's like to take a big cad head out of the oven and leave just enough gravy. I was preaching that one time in the city church, and I seen people go, oh. And I thought, man, this ain't my kind of people here. They don't know nothing about sopping. Ain't something not right with you. And you take that biscuit, and man, you just stuff that gravy up, man, get ever dry. What Papa would do, Mammy made butter and molasses. Him and Uncle George made molasses. And he would take homemade butter and molasses at the breakfast table. Watched him do it 1,000 times. And he'd put him a big glob of butter in there and a big wad of that in there. And man, he'd just mix that. And he'd break that cat open and say, here, boy, get you some of this. And man, you could take that hot biscuit and just... Man, I'm telling you, ain't lived unless you've ever been sopping. Okay? You only find that word four times, and all four times is in the book of John. That's something. Find it in verse 26. It says, when he had dipped it. Basically, he took the bread, and he baptized. Ooh, I'm about to jump ahead of myself. And he dipped it. If you look it up in your Strong's Concordance, he'll give you a number to follow, and it means taking a piece, a morsel, and moistening it, wetting it. That's what it means, to dip. Now watch this thing. Satan's sitting there. He's there, man. He's don't you know he's right there with them? He's watching Judas like a hawk. Judas is his boy. And in just a few minutes, he's going to completely take over Judas. And the Lord's going to address Satan and not just Judas. And so he's watching, Judas, and to stop the mouths of the Calvinists that say you got to be chosen, you got to be one of the elect, or you got no hope. Man, what a doctrine out of the pit of the damned. Whosoever will, let him come. And so to stop the mouth of the Calvinists, the Lord looks at Judas, the one that's going to betray him. He takes the broken bread, partakes of it. He takes the juice, denoting New Testament blood, and he drinks it. But the Lord said, he that dippeth with me in the dish is the one that betrayeth me. Now on the table, you've got the bread, you've got the juice. But Matthew 26:23 and Mark chapter 14 and verse 20 mentions a dish. That there was a dish on the table. Huh. So you've got the bread, you've got the pure blood of the grape, and you've got a dish in Matthew's account and in Mark's account. So I thought, what's in the dish? Judges chapter 5 and verse 25 said butter in a lordly dish. And if you'll look at the context of Judges chapter 5, it's a hammer and a nail. Write that down and look it up when you get to the house. The context is a hammer and a nail. And it mentions butter in a lordly dish. 2 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29 mentions honey and butter. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 14 through 15, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, said, butter and honey shall he eat. Okay. Just cut to the chase, preacher. I'm tired and hungry. Okay, here we go. He takes the broken bread. And even today, the Jews that celebrate Passover, and if he's a true Jew from the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he celebrates Passover. And they have certain things on their table. And I had a missionary to come to a church that I pastored many, many, many years ago, and he brought this saved Jewish guy with him. Wonderful service. And we was picking his brain on what they would have on their table. Some of them had bitter herbs, some of them. He said, at our home, we have what we call, it's a sweet vinegar extract. And he said, it's used as a dessert. And I thought, wow, I remembered that. So here you have a dish made from the earth, an earthen vessel. How many still with me? Or you done run off and you're two states away by now, okay? He's dealing with Judas. Judas ate the bread. He drank the juice. But now the Lord takes the bread. He breaks it, puts it in an earthen dish, and he baptizes it in a sweet vinegar extract, and he hands it to Judas. And it said Judas received it. It did not say he ate it. And I'll promise you he didn't. Receiving something and partaking of it and eating it is two different things. This may shock some of you. People that know me, this won't shock you. I'm a Baptist preacher. Chicken is not my favorite. Brother Ed Ballou told me I hadn't even been called to preach, preacher. He told me that. He said, brother, God ain't called you to preach. I like chicken, but I'd eat a bologna sandwich over it. Would I not? Especially a fried one. And I hate banana pudding. I hate that stuff, man. It's hard to look at something that looks like it's already been 8 months. I can't stand the texture of a banana in my mouth. I can't do that. I can't do it. And a church that I pastored for so long, she never did get it. She never got it. Never got it. Homecoming would be coming up. And if you think, Sister Kathy, you'll know who I'm talking about. Homecoming would be coming up, and I would tell them, if you bring banana pudding, hide it. I didn't want to see that stuff. Every homecoming. Wasn't she, Shannon? God love her little heart. And I don't know, she just logged off, and she I made it very plain. I hate banana pudding. I don't like looking at it. And here's what she'd do. Preacher, I got you banana pudding here. Wasn't she, Mom?
and set it down right in front of me. And she'd say, now I made you and Shannon one to take home.
Now, here's what I'm getting at. Follow me. I received it. I didn't need it. Now, stay with me a minute. Satan's watching this thing. It doesn't bother him, Judas believing in the death and the burial. Whew, about to have a spell. But there's three parts that make up the gospel. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The death, the burial, and the what? The resurrection. He takes the broken bread, baptizes it in the dish made out of the earth, and it comes out glistening, and he hands it to Judas. And now Satan's got to move quick. If Satan don't move in fast, he's going to lose his boy here. He don't bother him for Judas to believe in the death and the burial, but he can't have him believing in a resurrected Christ. Then he would be a saved devil. He received it, but I'll promise you he did not. If he'd have partook of it, he'd have gotten born again right there at the table. But that was all three things of the gospel that we preach today, the death, burial, and resurrection. And the Bible said Satan entered into Judas. And the Lord looked at Judas and said, what you do, do quickly. And he got up and left the table. Now, he's addressing Satan. Yeah. You know, these two have met before. Yeah, they've met before. They know each other well. And here's what the Lord showed me. Judas is gone. He's gone to get his money. And the Lord Jesus looks at his adversary. And he looks Satan eyeball to eyeball. The disciples couldn't see him, but he was there. And he takes the bread and he breaks it. And he said, Satan, I will allow you to break my body. I will allow you to beat me with a cat of nine tails. I will allow you to spit in my face and pluck off my beard. I will allow you to hang me on a cross. I'll take on the bulls of Bashan and the dogs. I'll suffer in shame and agony. But I'll die on my own terms. No man takes my life. I lay it down freely. But I got a final message for you. And he dips it, baptizes that broken body in an earthen dish, and hands it to Satan and says, but I'll live again. Oh yeah, you go ahead and hang me on a cross. Go ahead and break my body. But it won't be over. I'll live again. You think Judas took the sop? No, he didn't take it. He ran from it. You know what the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse number 8? People paint him up as some little Italian blonde-haired, blue-eyed, tiptoe through the tulips. That ain't my Jesus. He was a man's man, bless your heart. You know what he said in Isaiah chapter 15, verse 8? He said, who is it that will contend with me? Let him draw near. Some of the men was talking about that the other day. In the vernacular of the day, it said, you want some of this? Come get it. He was a man's man. That's what he was. He wasn't effeminate. But he took that bread, looking at Satan. Judas is gone. He offered Judas the gospel and he turned it down. He didn't want nothing to do with the sop. Sop was a type of the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he forced it and asked it, and there's Satan. Yeah, you can do all of that to me, but I got news for you. I'll live again. I'll live again. And because he lives, I shall live also.
Amen.
Yeah, because of the sop, I ain't ever going to die. I'm never going to die. This body will quit. It'll give up. It'll lay down. Guy gave me a treadmill. I've been going to halls almost three times a day walking a treadmill. I know it shows, but I don't like. And you can't do that and then go in and eat fried bologna sandwiches. The two just don't go together. But a guy gave me one the other day. He said, if you come and get it, I'll give it to you. First he told me $50. I got over and got to talking to him. He said, I load it up and get it out here. It was an old one, and it works. But this thing is on an incline, man. Phew, golly bum. I mean, and it's stuck there. You can't get it to go down. And so I was used to just walking flat. You know, I thought, man, ain't nothing but a thing. I'm going 2 miles on this thing, you know. Get back to my football days. Nothing. Well, this one is stuck, and it's on an incline. And 15 minutes on this thing, man, you can grab it, and it shows your heart rate. And you look at it and think, whoa. Go 20, and that's about it because of that incline. And we talk about it all the time. All the time we talk about it. We shouldn't, but we do. Shannon will say, I hope I go first. Nah. No. I want to go first. You could make it. I couldn't. We have a conversation all the time. And then Brother John, you was talking about this when she says this. I hope we just go together. I'm thinking, well, there's a head-on collision right there. You know, ain't good to go that route either. You know, the Lord is going to take us when he's ready. But when you get older, you think different. You think different. I'll buy this. May not last but a year, but it'll outlast me. Used to when I was young, you reckon that thing will last 20 or 30 years? But see, that doesn't bother me anymore. Yeah. Because every day I wake up with a new pain, a new hurt. Like the pastor, I've made so many trips to the graveyard. I've buried babies. I preached 4 funerals for little babies within a year. I buried a little 8-year-old girl down in Wolf Valley that got killed on a sled. Precious little old girl, so precious. I think about her all the time. I've seen all the pain and the suffering that goes with the loss of a loved one. And I know my days are numbered. I know they are. It doesn't scare me. Doesn't scare me. You know, I don't want to die, but I'm ready. I have no fear, I can tell you that. I don't have no fear when I go to bed and, oh, what if I don't wake up in the morning? That doesn't bother me. But he said, because I live, ye shall live also. Now that's a hope to give somebody at the graveyard. Yeah. Because of the sop, I'm going to live forever. No wonder Paul said, oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. No wonder Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. My. If you ate the sop, if you got saved, you did. Because it's the death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. My Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for the truth of the precious, blessed, righteous, infallible, inerrant word of the living God. I'm so thankful you have mercy on me. Lord, I pray. I know it's a little different than the way I normally preach, Lord, but I don't have a style. I just get up and ask you to use me. But if there be anybody here tonight, maybe that's not sure they know you. They just don't know for sure. They just don't know for sure. Well, Lord, it doesn't take a very smart person to look around and read the paper and look at the news and realize that we're in the end times. We're at the last days, the last stages. I pray if there's anybody in here tonight that's not 100% sure, I pray they'd come to an altar of repentance tonight. Lord, I pray that they partake of the bread, the New Testament blood, and trust in a resurrected Christ. Ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Brooklyn is going to play an invitational hymn for us tonight.